morning. Good morning, everyone. It is good to be in the house of the Lord, and I want to invite you guys to please stand and sing with me. Today, we're calling this group Tracy and the Maggies. I'd like you to meet Maggie on my right, Maggie on my left. We put them both together, and we're clapping. Here we go. Let's praise.
I praise in the valley. Praise in the mountain. I praise when I'm sure, and praise when I'm doubting. I praise when outnumbered, and praise when surrounded. This praise is the water my enemies drown in. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. I'll praise when I feel it, and praise when I don't. I'll praise 'cause I know you're still in control.
Right.
'Cause praise is a weapon, it's more than a sound. My praise is the shout that brought Jericho down.
Sing with me.
As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise the Lord, oh my soul. My God is alive. How could I keep it inside? Praise the Lord, oh my soul.
Come on. I praise 'cause you're sovereign.
Praise 'cause you reign. Praise 'cause you rose and defeated the grave. I praise 'cause you're faithful. Praise 'cause you're true. Praise 'cause there's nobody greater than you. I praise 'cause you're sovereign. Praise 'cause you reign. Praise 'cause you rose and defeated the grave. I praise 'cause you're faithful. Praise 'cause you're true. Praise 'cause there's nobody greater than you.
Join you guys right up here. Boy, that gets the blood moving, doesn't it? All right, everybody have a seat for a minute. Thanks, you guys. Thanks, worship team, for getting our morning started in such a great way. I need that. A little coffee, a little worship. It's great. Well, I want to welcome you to Discovery. My name's Star, and I'm so thankful to share this summer morning with you. I also want to welcome our live stream. Let us know in the chat where you're worshiping from today, and we're just excited to connect with everybody in person and on live stream. If you are a first timer, Welcome. Good job being here. That's a big step. This worship folder has all sorts of things for you to peruse over, including an insert that you can take home and you can take notes on the back of and all sorts of stuff. We also have a connection card in there. And if you're a regular at Discovery, you know we talk about this every single week, but we would love for you to get that out, whether you're new or old, put your name on it. And if you have any questions about any of the announcements that we share about events, you can put that on there. If you have a prayer request, please put it on there. We would love, love, love to be praying with you. Basically, that connection card is just to take you to the next step. Whatever that next step is in front of you that the Lord is challenging you to take, write it down. We want to walk with you. We want to take those steps with you. And we are very careful with your information. So that's the connection card. And we'll gather that at the end of service. Okay, I would love to point a couple things out. And you guys have the information in your worship folder, so if you have one, or even if you have your phone, I'm going to tell you, you can get it out right now, because I'm going to tell you about a couple events you might want to put in your calendar. First, I want to tell you about our sharing table. You guys might have seen it kind of in the corner there. Since last November, we have had this sharing table where we want to just love on and help support and provide for those who have some food insecurities. It's been going great. It's been such a wonderful ministry. It's actually added to our numbers at Discovery, people who feel seen and loved. Isn't that huge? Yes, let's clap for that. That's what it's all about, right? We want to love on our community. Well, this summer, we are doing something new. You might see my fashionable bracelet. We have these bracelets. Barb's got a couple on there. This is going to become a status thing, I think, Barb. Like, everybody cool is doing it, you guys. We've got some bracelets back here, and basically, they just have a little idea of what you could provide to help our sharing table make sure that we've got all the staples. So you grab one, you wear it so you don't forget, and then you bring that staple back next week and add it to the sharing table. And that sharing table is for everybody. It's for you. It's for a neighbor. There's no questions asked. If you feel like you know of a need, whether it's your own personal one or someone else's, you can go back there. We're excited that it's being used. So we'll be thrilled to see you back there. Also, we have the 25th anniversary coming up. We've been celebrating it. Yeah, let's clap for that. We've been celebrating it this whole spring, this whole summer, this whole year, because, you know, it lasts all year, you guys. But we are also combining it with Disco Fest, which is our really fun picnic that we have every summer. So July 26th is Disco Fest. This is a big one. Write this on your calendar. You're coming. We're all going to be there. You're going to be there, too. So that's a Sunday. We'll have regular service here, except we'll totally be celebrating our 25th. And then at 4 p.m. that same day, you go home, take a nap, make a little side dish, bring your chairs, bring your side dish, and meet us at Fort Steilacoom Park on July 26th, that Sunday at 4 p.m. So put that on your calendar, too. It's going to be such a fun day. And it's, again, more opportunity to celebrate what Discovery has been to all of us and what God has done through Discovery for new and old. So invite your old Disco friends. If there's people that don't go here anymore, that just let them know. Give them a text and be like, have you heard about this? Also, there's postcards in your worship folder. Hand one out. And if someone's never been to Discovery and you think, you guys, this would be the great, such a fun church, just come to this barbecue. So we want new, old, potential alike to be there at Disco Fest. And that is in 2 weeks, so it's coming up and it's going to be super fun. So none of you that I'm looking at your lovely faces right now, nobody should be like, when is Disco Fest? What's happening? Because we are talking about it like crazy over the next 2 weeks. All right, well, for today, oh, one more thing. You guys, there's a QR code probably up there and in a million different forms in your little worship folder. Please RSVP. This just helps us make sure we've got enough plates, napkins, burgers for everybody, because we're doing the burgers and hot dogs, or maybe just burgers. But yeah, we're making the food. You bring a side and RSVP. Okay, so today, what you can expect. We're going to watch a little video in a second. We're going to continue worshiping. And we're going to continue our sermon series called Finding Your Facing It with Faith. And that's been really great. I think we're in our third week with that. And then we're going to have a little bit of time to worship and reflect and pray. and then worship through giving back to God, which is when we would love those connection cards. And then we'll have some fellowship time afterwards to do more coffee, meet a new friend, grab a sharing table item or a bracelet, and we'll just continue. But for now, I would love to introduce our 25th anniversary video. We've been doing these almost every week, and this one is with David and Carrie Kim.
I'm David.
And I'm Carrie, and we've been at Discovery for about 6 years.
For work, and when we were in Orlando, the pandemic happened. We hadn't found a home church down there yet. Everything was just shut down, and we felt super isolated. And so when we came back, finding a church community was super important for us. And a pastor friend of ours actually recommended Discovery to us, so we checked out a satellite.
Basement flooded in a storm, pretty catastrophically, and we had about 2 inches of water all over our basement, all over our carpeting, and we didn't know anyone, but somehow Nicole Zinn found out about this, and she called me, and she said, hey, you know, I just want to say that Discovery cares about you, we're behind you, we want to help you, we want to support you in any way we can, and so they helped us with some referrals and recommendations for people to help us fix the basement. People associated with the church, and they gave us just prayer support and emotional support, and that was for me when I first realized, like, oh, these people really care about us, and it's like family, and so that's why we continue to go. Well, I will also say that they really showed up when we were pregnant with Mary, and women threw us a baby shower, and we just felt like as soon as our children entered the world, they were really well loved by people, and they were anticipated by people at Discovery, and our children have been really known and seen here. So that also keeps us coming, that they have such a community of people who love them.
Say authentic.
You stole my word.
Okay. The other word I was going to say is gritty.
In a good way.
In a good way. We're a gritty church. We stick together. We work hard. And we persevere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would say authentic. Yeah. And gritty came to mind too. Just everyone is committed, and no one is flashy. There's not a lot of ego. Everyone is down to earth, and I feel like that's who Jesus would have hung out with, you know? That's who he gravitated towards, is people who are authentic and gritty in the way that Discovery is.
David almost stealing her word. Did you see that? Such a blessing to watch those girls grow up in this church. And yes, and pray for David and Carrie's ministry. What a privilege that we get to participate. During that first song, I wish you guys could see what I was seeing, which was Dennis dancing. Look at him acting like he doesn't even know what I'm talking about. But here's the thing. Maybe you don't dance in church, and that's fine. But inside your soul, you're like, no, but in here, I'm dancing. I love this next song. We've sung it at Discovery forever. We're kind of bringing back some songs over the past 25 years of worship. Because this song to me is sort of like you're calling out to your soul, even in the most difficult times, to praise God. Come on, my soul, right? Because there's times you have to do that. So would you guys pray with me, and then when you're ready, stand and join me. God, have opportunity through these testimonies over the last couple months to remember all of the ways that you've poured out your spirit, different expressions through different people and ministries. And it is our privilege, God, to call ourselves family, to remind ourselves we're part of this kingdom of heaven. Wow. That we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. So sometimes when we're just trudging through the mundane, help us by your Spirit to remind our souls to praise. Because you've given us so many reasons, Lord. And we'll count them together today. Let's worship together, church. Would you stand and sing with me?
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. And sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. And bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. I worship his holy. You are rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing.
Come on.
10,000 reasons for my heart to find. My time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Evermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. Oh, 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 oh.
glory to your name, God. That we can boldly proclaim that we are yours and that you are ours. That you thought enough of us that you would give your son for us. That we might be in right relationship with you if we put our faith in the one who is everlasting. Who knows every doubt, every fear, every pain. And that as we put our faith in you, that you would send us, God, boldly into this world, into this community, into this culture, to be your representatives. That you would be mindful of us. Let your spirit have its way here, God. Let the spirit have its way in us. That he would work through us. That we would boldly proclaim the name of Jesus. No matter the context or the situation. That we would run faithfully, God. Would you help us to run faithfully? To trust in you beyond what we see. That we would run together boldly. Father, have your way in this moment, that this morning would be an opportunity for you to do business with your people, that hearts would be changed today, that someone would leave here forever changed by an encounter with you. I pray it boldly because I believe it boldly, God, that you're up to something here. Bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. Please take your seats. Thank you, worship team. Can we give the worship team a hand? Yes, absolutely. You got it. I almost forgot that I was preaching today. God is good. God is good all the time. Yes. Well, welcome to Discovery Community Church. My name is Bobby. I'm one of the leaders here. I'm so glad that you thought to worship with us today. We're glad that you're here. We want you to know that you belong here. Whether you've been following Jesus for a long time or a little time, or maybe you're still thinking about giving him your time, that you belong here. We're glad that you're here today. Our pastor, Pastor John, is here. He's right there. He'll be back here next week, starting a new sermon series. But today I have the immense pleasure of closing out a series called Facing It with Faith. We've been in this series now. This is our fourth week. I want to let you know that we're going to be reading out of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. So if you want to go ahead and get there now, you can. That's our core text today, Hebrews chapter 12. If you need a Bible, we have one for you. We want you to have one. Just raise your hand and Dennis or Dana will provide a Bible for you. All right. So we've been in this series, Facing It with Faith. We've been talking about the opportunity, the call, the responsibility, the obligation, if you will, to live a life of faith. For those of us who are Jesus' people, this is our call. We've been talking about that we live a faith that doesn't shrink. And I brought my old Peloton shirt up here to show you what happens when you don't read the label, when we're not diligent stewards of what God has given us in our faith. We've been talking about a faith that is built by decision, and that a faith that is built by decision will result in a life that looks different than the world expects. There's a lot of people out there who have a lot of beliefs, but not a lot of faith. But we're called to live a life of active faith. But today we're going to answer two questions that I'm sure some folks have about faith. How do we run with faith when we want to quit? How do we run with faith when we want to quit? And what do we do when we don't think our faith is working? What do we do when we don't think our faith is working? I've titled this sermon, Running the Race with Faith. We're in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. God bless the reading of his word. The writer of Hebrews uses an example to express the importance of a diligent life of faith for the believer. He uses a race. Many of us have in our minds a race. Maybe you know of the Sound Tenaros. Maybe some of you have run the Sound Tenaros. I haven't, nor will I. Many of you have heard of the Boston Marathon, right? Or maybe even a track and field tournament, even the Olympics. You know in your mind what a race is. The writer of Hebrews is using this race as context to the rigor, the preparation, the perspiration, and the pain necessary to be a runner in those times. So in that context, this is what they would have understood about the example that he's attempting to make. That athletes way back in the day, they didn't wear a lot of clothes when they were running. They wouldn't wear a tunic or loincloths or even sandals. The idea was that carrying a lot of extra weight for a long distance would be seen as a liability, as your fabrics would catch the wind. Over time, you're sweating, it would weigh you down, it would cause tripping. That the competitors were required to undergo 10 months of mandatory supervised training in order to run the race. They followed strict diets, they abstained from wine and luxury, they trained under harsh weather conditions to build extreme endurance. This is the ancient race. The total distance of the race was nearly 3 miles. The stadiums weren't like our stadiums now. We have these oval tracks. For them, they had sort of a square track. It would be filled with packed clay. You'd have a starting line, and you would run down to this large stone pillar, and you would turn around, and you'd do that about 20 to 24 times. Now, around that turnaround point, because dozens of runners were running around that and turning at the same time, it was extremely congested at that point. Runners frequently collided, they tripped, they caused others to trip, they suffered severe injuries in the dust cloud, and they kept running. The stadiums of that time were massive. 40 to 50,000 people would crowd stadiums in Olympia, Delphi, and Corinth. The roar of the crowd was constant and deafening. Imagine being the starting quarterback playing against the Seahawks at Lumen Field. You couldn't hear yourself think. The sole prize for winning one of these races, the sole prize, there's no second and third place. You either win or you lose. The sole prize was this item called a stephanos. It was a wreath. You'd wear on your head, but it was made of perishable vegetation. So depending on where you were running your race and if you won, and you'd have wild olives or laurels or pine or celery, but whatever it was, over time, it would eventually decay. But while that crown withered, the victor was granted lifelong fame. They would be able to live life tax-free. Somebody say amen. They would have statues erected in their honor. You go anywhere, you're immediately famous. Now imagine 10 months of supervised mandatory training. Imagine if you will, the physical strength necessary to run that race. You had to be top tier to even make it through those 10 months. Sounds like a lot of work. Think about your life. And I want to encourage you that the crown that we're running for never fades. The crown that we're running for gives us the honor of seeing Jesus face to face. And that's a race worth running. You see, our arena is different. Yes, there's a cloud of witnesses, but these are people who have run the race that we're running. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses," and it goes on to list some people in Scripture. But if you look to your right and to your left, there are heroes of the faith right here. People who have endured and are enduring and are still running. People who have prepared and perspired and in the pain are still running. This week, you'd be proud. There was a contingent of us from Discovery who were blessed enough to attend the celebration of life for Benita Thomas, your sister in the faith. And it was wonderful. What made it so wonderful is that, 20-some people stood up to talk, it felt like. And they all had this, they all talked about the same thing. They talked about her generosity, her kindness, that she didn't play, her tenacity. And this one word kept coming up over and over again as they talked about her life, faith. That she lived her life in such a way that she was accused of being faithful. That's who we run with. That's who is on this journey with you. The Bible talks about, and we've brought it up here in these 4 weeks, the heroes of the faith. These are people who have conquered kingdoms, who administered justice, who have gained what was promised, shut the mouths of lions, escaped the edge of the sword, faced jeers and flogging, even chains and imprisonment, put to death by stoning, sawed in two, killed by the sword, people who were destitute, persecuted, mistreated, people who wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and holes in the ground. That's who you run with. Those are your people. People of faith. And this is our arena. These are our conditions where it all goes down. As you hear about people, I pray to God that I never have to navigate shutting the mouth of a lion. But there's people who did it. They weren't superhuman. There are people who believed, who acted on those beliefs. Friends, we're not called to concessions. We're not called to get to the arena and stand in line for popcorn and soda and watch everybody else do all the running. We're called to be in the race. Amen? And as we prepare for the race, we want to be focused together. Hebrews 12, 1 says, "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." We are all together at the starting line. Now, I don't know the last time you've been in a race, but typically you kind of have a stance at the starting line. You want to start on the starting line. You want to be strong at the starting line. And I want to encourage you that we're at that starting line together. Now, if the race is about to happen and everyone else is at the starting line and I'm just kind of in the back kind of wondering what happens and they say go, I'm not going to have the kind of start that I need to persevere in that race and to do well. It's important to me to be at that starting line, to be conscious and aware of what's happening there. Paul says this in Ephesians 6, 13 through 19, he tells the church to put on the full armor of God so that we may be able to stand when evil comes. He says to put on the belt of truth buckled around your waist, to put on the breastplate of righteousness, to have your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, to hold the shield of faith, to put on the helmet of salvation, to wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And he says to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer request, to be alert and keep on praying for the Lord's people. Paul is writing to a congregation. He's given instructions to the collectives. As I run my race, I need you as well. I'm getting closer to 50. A couple days ago, I woke up and my knee was the size of a watermelon. I don't know what happened. I just woke up. Just woke up. Some of you younger people aren't laughing, but one day you will be. If I had to go run my race right now, if I had to go run an actual race, I might need some help. This race requires us to be in community together. So some of you are struggling with the race because you're doing it alone. I need you, and you need me. As annoying as I might be, you need me. Amen. Paul's guidance to the Ephesians, to the Christians, is that the Christian's life is a life in the Spirit. We get there by a practice of prayer and awareness. That I should be aware of what's going on in your life. Pray for you. It's hard for me to be aware of what's going on in your life, and I don't spend any time with you. I'm called to run together. I did 10 years in the Army. One of my favorite things in the Army was running. I know that's weird, but that was my jam. I like running in formation. I like all the songs that we would sing. It was fun. Some of you are, I'm creating trauma. I apologize. You all right, Terrell? God is good, brother. You're free now, all right? Running in formation was awesome. It was, you just had this sense that we were doing something together, that we were moving together, that there was esprit de corps, that we were united in something. Usually we started these runs, it'd be like 5 a.m., it's dark. It's great. It's awesome. One day we're running, and there must have been a family of deer in a bush, because all of a sudden a doe comes bounding out of that bush through our formation, and everything goes haywire, right? It may have been 30 seconds, but it felt like minutes. And the sergeants were yelling at us, get back together, get in line, get dressed right dress, stay in formation, stay together. They were trying to get us, they didn't plan the deer being there. If they did, chef's kiss, that worked. They were trying to get us to be diligent in the race, in the movement, that sometimes things are going to just jump out of nowhere. But we got to stay together. We got to keep moving. All right. We run with purpose. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. You imagine training for 10 months? Supervised training? I don't even know what that would be like. They just wake you up in them, probably like the Army. That's probably exactly what it's like. 10 months, you're doing all that training. You can't eat the foods you want. You can't go to places that you want to go. And then race day comes, and you decide not to run. Can you imagine? We want the prize, but we don't want to run. I think in 2026, a lot of people, even God's people, want the prize but don't want to run. We want the microwave, give it to me. How fast can I get back to my comfort level? Preparation perspiration, pain. That's what's in those 20 to 24 laps. Preparation, perspiration, pain. The prize isn't something for us. The prize is someone for us. Y'all know who I'm talking about, right? Yeah, Jesus. He's the prize. The gift of salvation, the process of sanctification, being made more like Jesus, the faith that shapes how we run, all of it comes from what Jesus did on the cross. He is the prize. And our call is to live a life that reflects his grace upon us. Philippians 3:13 says, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Let's break this down. Paul is saying to us that the pressing is the progress towards realizing the prize. That the laps, let's say we're running 24 laps, and we're on lap 7. Are we thinking about how lousy we ran the first 2 laps? What are we thinking about? Getting it done. The laps ahead. What's ahead of me? Family, so often we live our lives looking at the laps behind us. Looking at yesterday's disasters and distractions. Paul's saying here, I forget what is behind me and I'm straining towards what is ahead. He didn't say skipping, he said straining. He's not saying it's going to be Disney, okay? In order to move heavenward, it may require some challenges downward. We're going to have some crummy laps. And there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Yeah, it's not going to be pretty, but it'll be worth it. Amen? I'm not a runner anymore. Those days are gone. My knee told me so a couple days ago. But there's some benefits you would imagine from running. You've got more focus, better breathing, blood circulation, right? There's significant health outcomes that are related to the discipline of running. Run. Get those benefits. If I move like a runner, I reap the benefits that a runner gets. 1 John 3:2, we read, "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." The pursuit of the prize shapes our lives in our inward parts. Like I said, I become a runner who runs by running. In this way, what will be happens right now. Are the runners the only people who finish the race? The runners are everybody who's out there, who did all that training, who are doing the perspiration, the sweating, the folks who are navigating through the pain, they're runners. At the end of the well-run race, we find everlasting life with Jesus, and that everlasting is right now. And I also understand that it doesn't always feel like that, that the hurdles are real, that those laps behind us sometimes echo. The reality is, life is hard. I think about the disciples of Jesus. They didn't always have it easy, individually, collectively, spiritually, physically, mentally. Many of these men were unlearned. Many of them were looked down upon by their own culture because of their profession. And it's easy for me to, you know, 2,000 years later, do the Monday morning quarterback of why didn't they understand what he was trying to tell them? It's right there. So simple. But they're walking with the Messiah. They're experiencing life with him. And they have questions. And they have doubts. And there's confusion. And friends, most importantly, there's wonder. Can you imagine being out on the boat with Jesus? And the waves are tossing that boat around, and brothers in the back sleeping. And you wake him up and he says, "Peace be still." Can you imagine? Don't lose out on the wonder as you run. Amen. Each of his disciples would experience their own form of grief and walking and living a life for Jesus. But Jesus promises that our grief will turn to joy. In John 16, 33, we read, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world." Friends, there comes a time when every runner needs to lace her shoes, needs to hydrate his body, needs to sit on the bench and consider what's going well in the race, what's not working well in the race, and if the race is worth it at all. I call this the bench. And for the rest of our time here today, we're going to hang out talking about the bench. A lot happens on the bench. I coach first and second graders, second and third graders, little kids. And the bench, I use it because yelling at them when they're in the game, when they're on the field, on the court, on the pitch, usually is not effective. So if I bring them to the bench, I get to say, "Hey, listen, here's what I'm seeing. Here's how you need to move differently. Here's, if you take this approach, you might get this outcome. I want you to try to do this, okay?" And they'll go, "Yeah, coach, I got it, I got it." And sometimes they get in the game, they do exactly what coach says, and I'm happy. Most times they don't. It's okay. It's okay. They're trying. They're trying. We have a coach, the Holy Spirit, our comforter. And if we slow down enough to put ourselves in position, sit and listen to his counsel, he'll coach us on the run. He'll help you through your next couple laps. But you got to make time for him. Oftentimes I sit down with the little kid and they're not looking at me. They're looking through me and around me. They're not listening. They're not sitting with what I'm giving them. You can't implement what you don't hear. You can't implement what you don't receive. Okay. A lot happens on the bench. Rest happens on the bench. Some of us are having a hard time in the race of faith because we're doing it all on our own. We're gripping so tightly to our idea of performance that we can't rest with what God is doing. The Bible reminds us that God gives rest to those whom he loves. That rest is important for you. Now, some of you are like, "Yeah, rest." I'm not talking about moving away from the race. I'm saying taking a pit stop to get some perspective, some peace, and what's necessary for you to keep running. A lot happens on the bench. We got these benches that kind of accordion, and you can lay them out so that the kids can sit together. That's the best type of coaching that I like because I get to tell two or three kids how to move together. We get to do some planning on that bench. That some of you, God has placed on your heart ministries and missions, all kinds of ideas, and what you need is a brother or sister to sit with you and do some planning. Stop gripping on your own. That too happens on the bench. So going back to the questions that we started with, how do I run with faith when I want to quit? First of all, if you are a person in this room right now and you are running with faith and you want to quit, we're praying for you. That God would strengthen you. He would speak to you in such a way that it would resonate with you and you would act in what he's saying. But my first recommendation for you is to adopt a strict training regimen. 1 Corinthians 9:25 says, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. All right, y'all, so help me out. I'm going to run the Sound Tenaros next year, okay? In order for me to do this, here's my training regimen. I'm going to run twice a week. And for, thank you, Alicia, I'm going to run twice a week. And I'm going to, it's summertime, so I am going to eat Frisco Freeze for my training three times a day because it's delicious. And if you haven't been to Frisco Freeze, talk to me after service. We're going to take care of that. Welcome to Tacoma. Is this a good idea? That if I'm going to run a race like that, I need to be in position. I need to do the preparation necessary so that I can last through the perspiration and pain that's surely going to come. Because if I try to run the Sound and Narrows on a diet like that, and with a regiment like that, I'm going to get to my first mile, and I'm going to want to quit. Many of us, the only time we open our Bible is on Sunday. Many of us, the only time we pray is when things aren't going well. Okay. Strict training. How many of you know that strict training can be enjoyable? Many of you have been through educational pursuits. Many of you are parents. Sometimes the process of moving forward towards your goals can be life-changingly joyous. If we hear strict training and we might try to convince ourselves that, oh, that's going to be hard, it's not going to be fun. It's going to be the best time of your life to adopt a strict training regimen focused on running this race with faith. I believe that. How do I run with faith when I want to quit? Study the life of the heroes. When I was a kid, I collected baseball cards. I still have some. You hid them from me. I need those back. One of my favorite baseball cards was Oral Hershiser. Go Dodgers. Sorry about that, Mike. Good. On the baseball card, on the back, you get to see all of their stats, right? You get to see how great they are at different things involved in the game. Sometimes you can even kind of interpret when they had slumps and how they came back. And you're like, wow, I wonder what story that was. I pray for you that you find someone or someones in the Bible that you can study that way. Excuse me. That you can look at their story and see where it might align with yours and see how they chose to live faithfully in those moments. Some of my heroes are David. Ruth is one of my heroes. Esther is one of my heroes. Moses, for sure, is one of my heroes. But these days, one of my heroes, the heroes that I'm hanging out with a lot, is Paul. On the back of Paul's baseball card, you might read that he's trained as a Pharisee. He persecuted and imprisoned followers of Jesus. He gave approval for the stoning of Stephen. He encountered the risen Jesus on the road to Damascus. He went blind for 3 days, got baptized by Ananias. He went on missions in Asia Minor, Greece, and beyond. He's a church planter in Corinth, Ephesus, Philippi, other places. He wrote 13 books of the New Testament, some while he was in prison. He endured beatings, shipwrecks, imprisonments. He performed signs and miracles. He talks about having a thorn in his flesh, wrestling with his sin. And later in his life, he looked to his death with confidence and peace. He writes this to Timothy, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. That's a hero. He's not superhuman. I encourage you to dive into God's word and figure out who are your heroes. How did God shape their life? The origin story of many of these heroes is amazing. None of them start off like, I got it all together. Some of them run. Some of them feel like they're too weak, not good enough. Can anybody relate to that? I can. How do I run with faith when I want to quit? Adopt a strict training regimen. Study the life of the heroes. Don't submit to how you feel. 1 Corinthians 9:27. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it a slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Running faithfully cannot be defined by what your flesh desires. We talked a minute ago about me. If I desire to eat Frisco Freeze while I'm running or getting ready for my race because I feel like that's what I want, I'm not going to be prepared to make it a long time. The habits and lifestyle of a runner won't allow you to stop running. Remember those that who have gone before you, lean in to God for strength and growth and live by the Spirit. All of these things require faith. I want to quickly talk about how do I run with faith when it doesn't feel like it's working? How do I run with faith when it doesn't seem to be working? First, get a checkup. My 17-year-old is driving a car and the check engine light came on. He's freaking out. Dad, the check engine light's coming on. What do I do? What do I do? Well, first, your car's not going to explode. Call some mechanics, ask them for a quote, and we'll talk about what next steps are. So he does that, and a couple of them tell him that before they can give him a quote, they need to do a checkup on the car. They need to determine what's wrong with the car so that they can properly make their assessment. 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you unless, of course, you fail the test? We talked about putting on the full armor of God. We speak at this church often about the fruit of the Spirit. We talk at this church often about loving God and loving people. How are you doing at those things? Get a checkup. How do I run with faith when it doesn't seem to be working? Obey his word. 1 John 2, we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. How did Jesus live? In obedience to God. Even to the cross. I pray that we would enter a season of radical obedience to God's word. That obedience to God's word would shape every relationship that we have, the context of how we show up in community, the way we serve our church, that we would be obedient. And finally, remember, even the great ones had their doubts. John the Baptist, who Jesus says is the greatest man ever born to a woman, gets put in prison. Jesus is on his mission. And he's doing miracles. He's antagonizing the religious elite at the time. John in prison has his disciples come to him, and he says, hey, go ask him, is he the Messiah? Is he the one chosen? And they go, and they ask the question, and Jesus says this, go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the good news is proclaimed to the poor. John the Baptist would have heard this as a receipt of prophecy from the Old Testament. I don't want you to look at Jesus' response, nor do I want you to look at who John the Baptist, or where John the Baptist was being in prison. I want to encourage you to look at his doubt, that he had questions. And what did he do with those questions? He explored. He sought out the wonder of God. He asked questions. Some of us, if you're like me, you were taught that you don't question God. I don't know a faith story that doesn't have some questions about God. What are you doing? It's okay to have questions. Act on them. Take them to your life group or to a coffee with Pastor John or myself or a brother or sister in the faith. Wrestle. We don't run aimlessly, and we can't run by proxy. Pastor John can't do your running for you. Your small group leader can't do your running for you. You have to be the one in the race. Jesus tells people that he's popular. There's people all around him. They want to be healed. They want to see miracles. He tells them, hey, you want to follow me? Count the cost. We see throughout the Bible, die to self. We see throughout the Bible, carry your cross. All these are indicators of the conditions of our racetrack. Friends, there's going to be times when it looks like it's not working. I want to encourage you to remember it's already done. Jesus has already done it. Ephesians 2:8 says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. I'm so grateful that we did this sermon series. Because I've had to look at my life and get a checkup. Where am I not living faithfully? Where am I ignoring God's challenge, his call to run this race well? And I hope you have too. I hope you're leaving this season, entering the next lap, more focused on what God is doing in your life by faith. In a moment, we are going to have a time for you to respond to what God is doing. This is our giving back to God time. And one of the things that you came in with today was our worship packet. And inside there's a connection card. Maybe there's something that you heard today or maybe over the last several weeks that God has been tugging on your heart and you would like somebody to pray with you about those things or you want to celebrate what God is doing. Your connection card is a great way for us to learn about it. Maybe this is your first time here. We love to get to know you, learn more about you. We won't sell your information to anyone, but somebody will reach out and ask you what you need. In fact, that connection card is another way. If you have a felt need, we are a part of a generous church, amen? So if you have a felt need here, you can let us know using that connection card. We would love to partner with you as wisely as God leads us to. One of the other things you can do at this time is you can give. If you came ready to give and this is your church, we are grateful for your generosity. But if this is your first time here, we don't want anything from you other than that connection card. If you make this your church, we would love to talk more with you about what it means to be a generous member here. I love this church. 25 years. We're going to celebrate soon. 25 years in a couple weeks, but next week we have baptisms. Yeah, you can clap for that. If you would like to be baptized or you have some questions or some doubts about baptism, you can also put that on your connection card too. So here's what's going to happen. I'm going to pray. Our friends are going to pass around those baskets. We're going to sing another song. But before we go, we're going to pray for some of our friends, some of our family who are going out on faith, on a mission. So we're going to send them off well, and you get to be a part of that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. For the richness of your love, that you would call us on mission with you, that you would prepare us for the race, that you would allow us to perspire faithfully. And that in doing so, we wouldn't give up. We would look to the laps ahead, knowing you've taken care of everything, both behind us and before us. That you would draw us to your word, to your counsel, to your rest, and to collaboration and loving community with each other. That people would know us by our love for one another, because of the lives that we faithfully live, that we would be peculiar, that our commitments and our plans are focused on your everlasting. Help us this week, God, to draw close to you. Help us to dive into your word and find a hero or two or three that we can start to learn how faithfully you've been in their lives, and that would echo in our lives. That we would run in such a way with vigor and commitment and strength towards the prize of Jesus. Thank you for making that possible for us. And Father, I pray if there are those here today right now who don't know you, that you would soften their hearts, that you would make them curious about what it means to be a Christian, a Jesus follower, a disciple, that you would give them boldness in exploring that by reaching out or coming back next week or being present for what you're doing in their lives. Father, we love you. Give us strength for this week and the laps ahead. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Test 1, 2. Thanks, Bobby. That was a great way to wrap up Facing It with Faith. We are gonna, yeah, you can clap for Bobby. I would. I wasn't holding this microphone. We're gonna sing a song together. And first, I want to introduce someone that's really special to me. My person in my life who sat at the table the night that I said I needed the forgiveness of God through his son, Jesus, and that I wanted to be a believer and invite Jesus into my heart. The person who prayed that prayer with me is here today. My mother-in-law, Grandma Kathy, over here, who... who's part of my cloud of witnesses for sure. And I'm not going to say her age because that's rude, but I'm just going to say this. She just recently went on a mission trip to South Africa to the Lesotho people. I'm probably not saying that right. To Lesotho, but the people are that's a different word that I don't know that she'll tell me. But she has prayed for that people group for over 30 years, and she was given the opportunity to go and share with them that the people of God had been praying for them. And she told me a story about a man there who's recently given his life to Jesus, wants to shepherd others. What an incredible testimony of faith. And that's just one story. I mean, if you want to hear more and more stories, visit with the Joneses while they're here, right? Like, the ways that God is at work while we endure and perspire and believe are pretty incredible. And we get to participate. Would you stand and sing this song with us? This is I'll Praise You in This Storm. God, we thank you for the privilege of running a race that is not always easy. But we trust in your promise of glory. Thank you that you're at work and you will always be at work until your son returns. Find us faithful. In Jesus' name.
Sure by now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I'll say amen, and it's still raining. And as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain. I'm with you. I lift my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in the storm. I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. In every tear I've cried, you hold in your hands. You've never left my side, though my heart is torn. I will praise you in this storm. I remember when I stumbled in the wind. You heard my cry to you and you raised me up again. Now my strength is gone. How can I carry on if I can't find you? And as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain. Mercy falls. I lift my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in the storm. I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I've cried, oh, you hold in your hands. To the hills, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I lift my eyes into the hills, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I lift my eyes into the hills, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. I'll praise you in this storm. Oh, I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I've cried, Lord, you hold in your hands. You never left my side, you know my heart is torn. I will trust that you are Lord. I will praise you in this storm.
Amen. You guys can be seated. Amen, amen, amen.
So at this time, we have a missions trip. Our Eternal Anchor team is going to be commissioned to go on that mission. Star's going to help me out.
They also said missions team, so it's not just me. Come on up.
Let me get this back to you.
There is no I in team.
I also feel awkward. I'm way up here.
That's okay. We're just making a little awkward for a moment. I'm Erin. Emily and Katie are also going, and we have Mel going as well, and Cooper. We are all repeats from last year, going down next week to Eternal Anchor in the San Quintin Valley in Mexico. What's really special about this trip is last year when we went, we were able to provide some professional development and training to the staff down there, and we get to continue that work this next time we're going down. As you're aware, the staff and the caregivers there work with students and adults, some who reside there. These are all different people with a variety of different needs and special needs, and so the work is really hard. And so what we're able to do is not just go down there and bless them for a week and let them know that they have people who care about them and pray for them, but we get to provide more training to them and more classroom resources. We did a little bit of time last year. This year we get to do 2 full days and a half day with all their staff, which is a really big commitment for them as well, because they're still running the school while we provide this training. What's really important about that is because we get to go down and hopefully bless them for a week while they're blessing us. But when we equip just one teacher with these resources and this training, we get to have an impact on every student that they teach for years to come. So the work is really important. What's even more special is we also have another member coming on our team. It's actually a teacher that I work with who works with students with special needs. He's not a Christian. So last year when I talked about my fun trip to Mexico, and it really is fun. It's so amazing, you guys. When I was able to talk about that in casual conversations with my coworkers, I have staff who are coming to me, are you going every year? What year can I come? I want to come. I want to help. These are not Christian people. So I want you to know that God is working in so many people's lives in ways that we can't even imagine. I have staff who are helping put together resources so we can put it down there. Teachers, paraeducators, some of the directors of my special education department are all aware. Some of them have donated some money and some different materials because they know I'm going. So God is doing an amazing work for so many different people, and I just ask that you pray that that work can continue to multiply. I have this vision that God is going to continue to work in more staff in my public school that I get to work in and have more people going down, and hopefully that has an impact on them too. So we just ask for your prayer as we travel down there. We fly to San Diego, and then we drive for 5 hours south of Tijuana in a really beautiful 15-passenger van that has air conditioning in some areas of the van. So we have so much fun doing that. I just realized that my flight leaves next Sunday morning at 6:21. So Jeremy, my husband, you don't know this, but you're driving me at 4 a.m. to the airport. So pray for that too, because that's a very early day that we're all up there traveling. So just pray for travels, pray for our safety, and then just pray for the impact that we can have on the people there, and then also just the work that God's gonna do outside of our trip as well. Thank you.
We talk a lot about being salt and light, about being a representative of the kingdom of God. And look what happens when you just say yes to God, and then you share a story about God's goodness while you're on mission with him. You start getting people who don't know Jesus curious about what Jesus is doing. That's powerful. We're going to pray for y'all. Those who are here and those who are going to be going along with you. And so let's agree together in prayer. Father, thank you for the partnership you would give us to be on mission with the brothers and sisters at Eternal Anchor. We thank you for your provision and your grace and power in changing the lives of your children. Thank you for moms and dads and grandmas and aunts and uncles who have been praying for the resources that you're giving. Father, thank you for brothers and sisters who are mission-focused, who are bold in proclaiming what you're doing in and through their lives. And we are most thankful for those who don't know you, who are curious about what you're up to. And we ask you for seeds planted and watered, and that curiosity would grow, and that by your grace and your will, salvation will happen. We may not see it, but we We pray that it comes. Bless our sisters as they're on their way. Bless our brother who has to get up early in the morning to do his part. Bless them richly, God, with grace and determination and joy and creativity and patience for themselves and for what you're up to. Lord, we thank you for a church that's bold enough to be generous enough to spend time and talent in a place not their own. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Let's give him a hand.
Well, I'm excited that you guys are going next week and that you'll be back in time for Disco Fest. You might be a little tired, a little jet lagged, maybe you won't be there, but we will be celebrating with you guys and just all, we're excited to hear all that God does in and through you and through the people of Eternal Anchor. Well, I have a couple invitations for you guys. Next week, as you already heard from Bobby, we have baptisms, and I just want to really put that in your head. Yeah, let's clap one more time for that. So next Sunday, please don't miss it. Come and let's just cheer on our brothers and sisters and be there to witness just this incredible step in their lives and be there to celebrate with them. And then, of course, the next week, we will do more celebration with the 25th anniversary at Disco Fest. My other invitation is just stick around. Let's do some fellowship, grab some coffee, visit the sharing table, get yourself a bracelet right back there, and then see Jason to help tear down. All right, have a good week.